I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Check. Check.
Oh.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits, and I am your host, Marina Antunes. Earlier this year, I had a chance to catch up with the documentary Carts of Darkness from Canadian and local filmmaker Murray Sipple. Carts of Darkness is currently playing at the Whistler Film Festival, and I had a chance to speak with Murray in regards to his film. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Today we're talking to Murray Sipple, the director of Carts of Darkness. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us, Murray.
No problem, thanks.
Before we get started and talk about your new film, Carts of Darkness, let's discuss a little bit where you came from, because this isn't your first film. You were making films before Carts of Darkness.
Yeah, I started filmmaking when I went to Emily Carr in the early 90s, and I left Emily Carr and moved to Whistler and started making snowboard and skateboard films for a couple of years. And yes, I've actually made 6 action sports type films before this and a few short experimental documentaries, which I still do now.
Yeah, for those that don't know, can you tell us why you sort of stopped? There was such a big gap between, I guess, your last, sports film and now Carts of Darkness. There was like a 10-year gap there, correct?
Yeah, well, in 1996, I ended up taking a break from Whistler and going to my hometown of Kamloops to get ready for the upcoming snowboard season, and while I was there, I ended up getting in the wrong vehicle at the wrong time. I shouldn't have done it. I got in a car with a person that had been drinking, and I didn't know that, and I didn't know they were going to drive, and they ended up deciding to speed the car out of the parking lot we were at, and they crashed it right out of the parking lot, and the crash was pretty serious. We flipped over an embankment and landed 40 feet down on the roof, like down below this parking lot on the roof of the car on the Trans-Canada Highway. Mm-hmm. And I broke my neck. So, set me back a little bit. I ended up becoming almost full quadriplegic, but I was able to gain the use of my arms back. And I spent a couple years in rehab, and then I made a short film that or actually I finished a short film that I'd started when I was way back in art school, a little documentary on my grandmother that I had the time to edit since I was sitting around in rehab. And that rekindled my filmmaking interest because the film got submitted to some film festivals and did quite well. So I thought, okay, I'm in a wheelchair now, but I can still make films. This is going to work. And it was I'm glad I figured that out. It's kept me motivated ever since.
And so, Carts of Darkness to me is so fascinating because I haven't traveled around all that much, but it seems like it's a very West Coast Vancouver sort of film. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration for Carts of Darkness?
Well, ever since I started going to film festivals, I've always been fascinated by films from other parts of the world that showed unique locations that for one reason or whatever, I haven't seen in other films, like crazy landscapes in Russia or, you know, strange situations in Brazil or something. And when I found these guys that ride carts in North Van, I thought, this is the perfect situation. This can't happen anywhere else in the world. They learned to ride shopping carts going to high school, actually, because they didn't have skateboards or mountain bikes. For whatever reason, they became homeless and started riding the carts to collect the bottles, which nobody else could access easily because they're so high up on these steep hills in North Vancouver. And I used to film snowboarding and skateboarding, so it was like this perfect combination of elements that came together to make this film. And I knew that of all the homeless type binning documentaries that have been done in urban centers, this one was going to look great because it was all in mostly in the forest and on these crazy steep streets. And their living environment is actually quite beautiful. They live outside in these great trees, and they, you know, have access to great creeks, and they fish salmon, and, you know, they live actually, it's like they're camping in a beautiful spot. It's not like they're living in an alley downtown where it's grungy. These guys really like where they are. So, yeah, that was the inspiration. Looking at all that, I just had to think, I had to make this film. It was just too beautiful to pass up and too unique of an opportunity.
And the film makes a great point of sort of showing how you've come to befriend some of these individuals. And the one that always stands out, I think, is Big Al, because he seems so much bigger than life. And you meet him in person, you think, wow, he really is bigger than life. And I'm wondering, of what you showed us in the film, how much more footage is there of you trying to befriend these people and sort of making it okay for them to share their stories with you? Because I would assume that would be fairly difficult.
Well, there's over 58 hours of footage that we had to choose from, and but I spent almost, well, maybe close to 2 years only using a digital camera to shoot photos of them and gather the story.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first encountered Al, it was at a grocery store parking lot, and I noticed them there returning bottles a couple times. Every time I went grocery shopping, he seemed to be there, and he had a couple buddies with him, and they were so happy at what they were doing and joking and almost seeming proud. And I noticed that the people shopping at the grocery store were ignoring them and pretending that they weren't there, and I thought it was such a great contrast. I was going to bring my video camera down and make this little film about that. And when I approached Al, I rolled up in my wheelchair, and immediately his arms were open, and he was, you know, welcoming me. And I told him I wanted to shoot this film, and he told me then that he actually wrote the shopping carts. And immediately we became buddies, because I said, well, I used to make snowboard films. This is perfect. Let's go check out You Ride a Shopping Cart. And right there we went up to the top of North Van, and he bombed this street called Mountain Highway, which is one of the steepest streets in North Van. And that day he went 67 kilometers an hour past a car, me following in my van, thinking this is the craziest thing I've done since I've been injured. And it brought that rush right back to, like, the days when I would be filming snowboarding or skating, because it was this illegal kind of situation. It was scary. He could get hurt, but it was amazingly thrilling. People were cheering from cars and bus stops on the way down. It was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe that he actually did it. And then at the bottom, he said, okay, let's do it again. We did it right away again. So since then, you know, beyond filming, he'll call me and say, let's go ride shopping carts, or I'm up at Safeway up on Mountain Highway, come on over. And it'll be night and raining, and he'll still be riding the shopping cart. So,
wow.
Yeah, he loves it. It's just amazing.
I think what I love most about your film is its ability to not only give you these individuals' stories and sort of give you a feel for what it is to be homeless in North Vancouver, but it's intercut with these, like, adrenaline-filled rushes of these guys going down the hills. And you put us in their places. I mean,
yeah.
You really feel the action coming down that hill. Like, what various ways did you try? Like, did you try various different ways of trying to capture that rush? Or did you have something in mind right away of how you wanted to film this?
Well, right away, when I first saw it happening, I was wondering how I was going to film this documentary, because I can't do it myself with my injury. So I looked for some crew members that would have a similar vision that I would, maybe people that are experienced with filming action sports. And I found a couple people, and it just wasn't really working out. We didn't have the right gear, and it was so difficult following these guys down the steep streets in my van and stuff. So I stopped filming, and this is when the National Film Board came involved and decided to produce the movie, that we were able to get better cameras, HD cameras, and a really high-end crew. And I was able to hire Christian Dejean as the director of photography, because I had watched his work before, and he'd used mounted cameras on mountain bikes and skis and had some really interesting techniques that I knew would apply perfectly to this film. And he's got a huge arsenal of camera equipment, so we were able to shoot so many types of shots in this film, everything from having a motorbike with the passenger on the back holding the camera to someone skateboarding beside the cart, to mounting cameras right directly on the cart and beside the wheels. We used my van and lowered the wheelchair ramp almost to the ground and put the cameraman out on the wheelchair ramp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then drove down. You know, this was crazy, too, because it was, you know, it's at 60 kilometers an hour with my cameraman wearing sandals hanging off this wheelchair ramp. So, yeah, there was a lot of intense filming going on, which was great. That was the whole filmmaking, and that type of adrenaline rush is exactly what I'm after when I'm working on a project. So
yeah, it comes through beautifully in the film, and I mean, it looks fantastic. It's really a high quality, really wonderful looking film. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, and the other thing was about getting them out to ride carts. Like I couldn't film them enough. They were so eager to do it, and they were doing it without me anyways. But what I noticed about it was this was their escape. You know, every day I would go and meet them. They had a new story of someone dying. Like four people that I met along the way had died from alcohol issues. They were, you know, losing money somehow, or being arrested for something, or being kicked out of a spot they'd been sleeping in for a couple months outside somewhere, and there was just always an issue, you know, and there was a lot of alcohol around them. Some of the people around them were doing drugs, and just a sad scene, obviously. Mm-hmm. So for them to get out on a shopping cart and get this thrill, it was totally their escape, just as if someone would go and rent skis for the weekend up at Whistler, but this was their style of getting their rush and getting away from the gross chaos that was happening in their world. So I found that fascinating as well. It was exactly the same reason people would skateboard back in the day. They were, you know, something was going on and they needed to get away from it. They would go and skate,
yeah.
Be aggressive somehow like that. So
I think it's really fascinating that, you know, you managed to speak to these individuals and sort of get their story, but you're never speaking down to them, which I think is something that's really hard to do, especially, you know, when you're talking about the homeless situation in Vancouver. It's hard to sort of talk objectively about the problem. And in your own way, you definitely do that. At least I think so. And I think that's commendable.
Oh, I'm glad you pick up on that. This is something that I learned along the way. I was going to make a film more about them and not intentionally look down on them in any way, but my idea was to show this crazy world of shopping cart riding and make a small, goofy little spectacle of it for YouTube or something. But when the National Film Board became involved, there was such great input from the experienced people around there and the producer, and Tracy Friesen one day said, you know, the best way you're going to make this film is if you make this film with them. And I never really considered that option before, and it works perfect because I do get along with them. They are my friends. I can relate to them as outsiders. I appreciate their thrill seeking. I feel for their situations, and it comes through perfectly in the film. And I think that's the responsibility of documentary filmmakers. Excuse me. Making the film with them was really an important part, and I'm really happy it comes through that way.
Oh yeah, it certainly does. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's such a great little film, because it's both a message movie, as in, you know, big air quotes, and it's really exciting and really watchable, and I think that's its biggest strength. I wanted to talk a little bit about a moment in the film where you make the decision to actually get in the cart. And
right.
The first time, when that happens, there was sort of an air of expectation from the crowd. You know, how did you work yourself up to that moment?
Ever since the very first minute I met Al and he told me he rode shopping carts, he wanted me in that cart. He knew, he had this intuition that he knew I was missing out from being in a wheelchair and I wasn't doing what I originally enjoyed. And I I think that's what really helped make our friendship so good, is he knew that he wanted to help me back in some way by somehow assisting me in getting a thrill, especially living up in North Bend in these mountains too. You know, I see people doing sports all day long everywhere I go, and I don't get that opportunity. So every time we filmed, he encouraged me to get in that shopping cart. But this is someone that has been drinking all day easily, mm-hmm. and it's not the most reliable form of transportation or safe, and I'm already in a wheelchair. I don't need to get more injured. So for the 4 years that I hung out with him, I put it off. No, I'm not doing that, no way. Or I'd say, maybe we'll do something else. We'll go 4x4ing, or maybe one day you will come up the mountain with me. I'll sit ski, and you can rent some skis or something, and we'll do that. But we were looking for an ending for the film, and the editor, Michael Brockington, and I sat down with Jonathan Orr, who was a sort of a junior producer at the time at the NFB, and I brought up the story that Al keeps asking me to get in the cart, and they looked at me and said, well, why don't you? That's the perfect ending for the film. And I agreed, and it took me 6 weeks of almost sleepless nights to get prepped for that journey in the cart, because if Al wiped out, I would be in some serious trouble. I'd definitely be in the hospital for a while, and the ending of the film would be carting Murray off to the hospital, which is not what I was gonna wanted for anybody. But when I got in the cart finally and Al was driving, he did an amazing job. He was super confident. We went super fast, and I got that rush back that I hadn't had for 12 years of going down a steep hill, and it was amazing. We actually did it, I think, 4 times to get the right spot. Yeah. But by the 4th time, my body was all cramping up and giving me reactions for not liking to be folded up into this cart. It was actually way tighter than I considered. I'm 6'2", so crunching me into a shopping cart was actually a tight fit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was intense. And then, and then the police showed up at the end, of course, because someone called us in. But
oh, no.
Yeah. But they let us go. It wasn't an issue.
Oh, excellent. Now, have you ridden the shopping cart since?
No, that was it. I got away clean, and I'll never do it again. But it was fun.
Oh, excellent. So, Murray, are you working on anything else? Any other films in the works?
I have a short documentary on the P&E, the Pacific National Exhibition, that happens every summer in Vancouver, and it's just an experimental short on focusing on the people that attend that event, and it's sort of a strange look at a weird Canadian ritual that happens here. I don't know. It's a carnival. People are crazy, and it's actually really beautiful every night. There's a great sunset and really interesting sunlight that drops down on that place. And I don't know. I've gone there ever since I was a kid, and I'm always fascinated by it. So every summer for the past 3 years, I've brought a cameraman with me, and we just find cinematic shots and sit there and film them and hope the right person passes through the frame. But we're just in an editing process right now, and it will probably be like a little 10-minute film. So that's just something to keep me busy, and I'm researching some ideas to try and do a narrative film.
Okay.
Hopefully, so there's been a lot of writing and a lot of ideas and brainstorming going on, but right now I'm still a little bit apprehensive. This last project was so long, and almost, you know, even including today's interview, I think I'm close to 5 years into this now. So the next big project I do, I have to really make sure I pick the right one and commit to it. So
Your film Carts of Darkness is playing at the Whistler Film Festival.
Yep.
And then it'll be available for DVD, I think, next week, correct?
Yeah, December 5th. It'll be available either through the National Film Board website or from my website, MurrayCycle.com.
Excellent. Murray, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Carts of Darkness is a fantastic documentary. If you have a chance to, please see it at Whistler this weekend. If not, look for it on DVD next week, or come by Row 3. We have a copy of your very own to give away, so that's fantastic. So enter the contest. Murray, thanks again. That was great.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I look forward to hearing it.
Yeah, and have yourself a good one.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was my conversation with Carts of Darkness director Murray Sipple. Carts of Darkness is playing at the Whistler Film Festival. It screens on Thursday, December 4th at 5:15 p.m. The film will also be available on DVD starting next week and can be purchased from the NFB at nfb.ca or directly from Murray's website at murraysipple.com. Also, you can stay tuned to Row 3. We're actually going to have a giveaway of Carts of Darkness, so you can look for that on the site for your chance to win your very own copy of this fantastic documentary. It really is a good time. As for us, stay tuned to Row 3 for all your movie news and reviews, along with continued coverage of the Whistler Film Festival. Until next time, we'll see you after the credits.